This podcast is an excellent snack to be enjoyed while you're driving, to be enjoyed while you're exercising, to be enjoyed as you fall asleep.
To be enjoyed while you're listening to another podcast at once, like when people try to combine Wizard of Oz with Dark Side of the Moon.
To be enjoyed while you are getting intimate with your partner.
You can if you combine this podcast with the albums OK Computer and In Rainbows by Radiohead, it creates a third super album.
Mum's Friend Energy. Mum's Friend Energy.
Mum's Friend Energy.
Sorry, everyone. Even though you're not listening live, we just had a brief hiatus while we had to have a fight. We're now back.
Yep. We've had a cry. It's not funny. Yeah, no concert, because that makes it sound like we just went away for an hour and that this is not a different day.
This isn't a different day.
No, it's just the same day.
Same day. We didn't have a fight.
No, we
nothing
didn't cry.
Nothing to see here. There's no drama.
There's no drama. This actually just hit me in the I love you, Sophies. Ugh. I really do love you.
Shut up.
Fuck you, bro. I have to justify myself to you, bitch. I love you. I do.
I think you're great.
Thank you.
It stings, doesn't it?
No, I believe you.
No, like the oh. Yeah, I think you're great, Jeff.
But what you are line. Great. Oh, you know what? That's great. What I just quoted the movie Willow. Did you ever see that?
No.
Like a character who's supposed to be like the greatest swordsman. It's Val Kilmer. It's peak Val Kilmer. You're probably about that, right?
Like, I feel we will lose our audience very quickly if we go about our usual style of you asking me if I've seen a movie, me saying no, and then you proceeding to just describe it.
Just describe the movie for no reason, yeah. No, that's fair enough. Well, the thing that immediately made me want to jump back on mic again, earlier I was trying to convince Sophie to take me on a horse ride, a multi-day horse ride. And I was saying, because obviously I'm piss weak at riding horses. So I've only ever ridden one horse. His name was Morgan. He didn't respect me at all. Anyway, the point is, I was trying to convince Sophie, who's an accomplished, dare I say, acclaimed rider of horses, let me go with her on a thing. And I was saying that as soon as I had a sook, because obviously it hurts riding a horse long distance, right? Like it just... It hurts
sure
your core.
Does. Well, look, if
it
you're
hurts
not
a little bit on the inside
if you're
of your
not
butt.
Conditioned, if you are, if you're not fit, if you're not riding fit, you will find yourself in a lot of athletic discomfort at the conclusion of the day, and that will worsen over the next 48 hours. So there's a lot of people that go on these high country 5-day rides, and look, I'm only child, not great at sharing my toys. Yeah, but like the thought of you riding a horse just gives me the biggest ick. And then the idea
wow
the idea of spending 5 days, and I know that you have very little pain threshold, like you literally will have like a scratch and it's all we talk about for the entire
get
duration
fucked. What
of
are you basing
scratch.
This on? I have an incredible pain threshold.
So I just said, look, you'll see a very ugly and non-compassionate side of me.
Yes,
if you
now, on this point, yeah, I was saying that you could just abandon me in the woods, like, if I sook. And that's like, I've put that down, and I'm okay with that.
And I would.
And you would. And this is the thing. The thing, and actually, this is related to you talking about me alienating people by trying to describe movies. So when Sophie said that if we do that, she'll see the ugliest, most non-compassionate side of me, I don't think she understood that I already associate her with a character from a movie. Have you ever seen the movie Red Dragon?
No.
The one with Ralph Fiennes? So Ralph Fiennes plays a serial killer in that movie, right? And he has a blind girlfriend. The blind girlfriend's describing, she doesn't know that he's a serial killer. And she's describing to him about how frustrating it is that people, she had to finding people in her life because people constantly look at her and like with pity, or they describe, they talk to her with pity, and he just looks at her like bald faced and goes, I have no pity. And she really likes that, not realizing that he's a murderer. And honestly, for the last, how long have you and I, I'm going to say been together, what, 7 months, 8 months?
How long have we hung out? Yeah, about 7 months.
Okay. Yeah. Right. How long have Sophie and I have been hanging out, right? Yeah. So, okay. Sophie and I, we can just bleep it. How long have Sophie and I been?
About seven months.
7 or 8 months. Yeah. And yeah. I think for about 6 months now, I've pretty much been associating you with the Red Dragon killer from that movie. Just, I have no pity.
That's really sweet.
There is.
I like that.
My point being that I'm on board with this. Like, you know, I might surprise you on this so-called high country ride.
I love that you think I haven't spent the last 3 decades watching every level of rider on all manner of horses and that I don't know exactly how it's going to go down to the very second that you will think your balls are going to explode.
Yeah, no, I get it.
I know exactly. You're going to have like this little hunched over kind of position when the horse trots, and then we're going to get back and you'll be like, the horse bolted on me. This is why, like, I really try not to tell people that I ride, because like a non-horse person just takes that as an opportunity to tell you that a horse once bolted on them. And I can also guarantee that that horse probably lazily trotted somewhere and it felt very extreme because you're not used to the sensation.
Now, I have a certificate somewhere that said that I rose to the trot when I was 11 like, on that one horse.
Yeah, there's a particular beginner's posture where, yeah, you've got quite a slight hunched over back, you're hanging onto the front of the saddle, and quite often they tuck their bums and then they have their toes pointed a little bit down and inwards.
I just know, but I get what you mean.
Point is, you riding a horse is very likely to give me an ick. I will laugh hysterically for the entire 5 days. The more that your discomfort grows, the more hysterical I'll find it.
Well, that doesn't sound like it.
And you will quite genuinely be in a lot of pain, and you will decide that I am. Like, you already know that I'm a fairly unpleasant person, whereas like you, it would just be so cemented for you.
I don't think you're unpleasant at all. But as I said, I do associate you with a famous theatrical serial killer. How you doing?
Oh, great.
Did you put your horse medicine on your ankle?
It's just right. I've been in Crookwell when they were making it. So there was like a huge vat that I probably could have. It was like a spa bath.
Just jumped in. You were thinking about jumping in.
I so would have. Quality control.
It's a good way to go out. You're like, this is going to kill me, but I'm so not inflamed.
Yeah. No, yes, I have my ice pack. We're probably going to have to bleep that because I so don't want them to send me a letter.
Oh, yeah.
I can't endorse it for human use.
So
it says pets on the label. It's for horses and dogs. Don't put it on humans. Okay, everyone? Don't do it.
unless you want to fix whatever your problem is heaps better than regular human products. Because it's made for horses.
Yes.
Horses go through it feels like it's a lot more hectic. Like, you got this the skin thicker, it's furrier, right? Is it skin thicker?
Yeah.
Yeah. So surely something designed to go on their skin and ease their muscle pain is going to be more heavy duty.
It's more concentrated, I think.
Concentrated?
I love how I used to literally sell this product and I'm just like, yeah, I don't know, probably.
It's more concentrated, yeah. Do you remember your talking points?
We never had to sell it.
It's just one of those things that people bought.
Yeah.
It's just a good thing.
Yeah.
That's probably.
And every single person, if we were at a conference and people were coming up and placing orders, people love to tell you that they're like, as if they're in on some sort of huge industry secret. Do you know, I don't reckon I've sold a single tub of this for a horse or a dog. And I'm like, wow, really? No shit. That's crazy.
Well, people are actually, so you're not the only one. People, lots of, apart from you and footy stars, like lots of people just use it for themselves.
All the arthritic people, all the oldies, all the chronic injuries.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, there's no. It's actually like, I don't know. I don't think I've ever come across a horse person that actually uses it, except for myself, because I actually really like it for the horses.
I mean, it's designed for horses.
Yeah, but like as in actively uses it is a go-to in my first aid kit. I've been in hundreds of stables and around hundreds of organizations. I've never seen it anywhere for horses.
Well, it's really a big like word of mouth thing going on.
Oh yeah.
With arthritic people of just like, oh, you know what you want to use. And then they're all hearing it from their mate or Googling it on a thread or something.
Well, it's yeah. I was just like, I definitely can't say that.
What were you going to say? We're not going to.
Oh, I was going to say we're like what the major distribution center of it.
we're just teaching people where to get it.
Can we talk more interesting?
No.
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 No. No. No, love. No. We're just going to.
Don't overcook it.
I'm just going to talk about what we talk about.
Ay, caramba. We probably need to introduce Uncle Trevor properly.
Did we properly introduce Uncle Trevor?
I don't think we did.
I don't think we did. Oh.
No, I was just about to very reluctantly let our audience in on the fact that Sam does this creepy voice that I've named Uncle Trevor. And, yeah, it gets me a little hot under the collar. It gets me a little flustered. Get a little thump down there. And I have this very bizarre adjudication over whether Sam's doing the Uncle Trevor voice the way that I like it.
She also demands it of me randomly as well.
And I like him to say very problematic things. Like, how old did you turn this year, darling?
I don't remember saying that. You never got me to say that.
I did get you to say that.
That's fucked.
Because the character is very loosely based on the inappropriate uncle at the barbecue. Just, right. You know.
That you're a fan of? Got uncle issues?
Well, look, there's so many issues. We don't have time. But for whatever reason, Uncle Trevor gets me a bit flustered. And here we are. And I hope that you find it as funny as I do and as entertaining as I do. And if you find it hot, well, I have a fantastic therapist. She's doing her utmost. And
I thought you were just going to send him to me, just get me to do the voice.
Yeah, so excerpts are available on Patreon. They are $85 per 4 seconds, but it'll be the best orgasm of your life.
I'm so fucking curious where that voice comes from in your like horny subconscious.
I don't know.
So it's not, we can bleep all these. It's not.
No.
It's not the silver fox now.
Definitely not. Actually, they should all have nicknames.
The silver fox.
All right,
the goanna.
We've got silver fox, the goanna, shat himself.
Wait, who shat that? That's so unfair. That's no good. We've got the goanna, we've got the silver fox, shat himself.
How do you know about the goanna thing? Oh, I've told you about it. I had a whole thing.
Do you realize how much you tell me?
No, I don't, clearly.
We've got, this is too, you can't call him this, but South American but never made you come. This is such a funny combination to me because that just never doesn't
came.
Make any sense.
Yeah, Latino never came.
Latino never came. That doesn't make any sense.
Great name for a racehorse. Latino never came.
Latino never came.
Can we nickname all of yours now?
All of mine?
Mm.
The people I fucked, the people I've been in relationships with.
Well, like, and again, bleep it. I really want to, like, call
than once
something along the lines of like because his mum sends you home with like a takeaway or like baking
cookies or something.
All right,
yeah, fake cookies.
So takeaway cookies. Yeah,
the problem is a few of the people I've been with in recent years have nicknames that I don't want to use.
Well, no, we make them new ones.
Okay. Well, I realized the other one is going to be puppets.
Puppets?
Yeah.
Why?
I won't say this, will have to get bleeped. But
oh, yeah. Oh, see, I think of her as like bendy psycho.
But, oh, because she's a yoga master.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. So she's not a psycho.
She was pretty psycho.
She's less. She's
you told
less
some stories. Than you. Yeah, but, you know, I'm in a league of my own, babe.
That's a high bar. No, she's pretty chill. I think she's, yeah. I was probably the weird psycho in that situation.
Oh, okay.
I freaked her out.
All right.
Dissociation. She's older than me. She'd never seen someone dissociate in front of her before.
Okay.
Somehow.
So Bendy checked out.
Bendy checked out. I'm Bendy checked out. yeah, no, but I was going to call it puppets because we had a mutual love for puppets that I thought you would get because you made fun of it as soon as you learned about it.
Oh, what, like hand puppets or like marionettes?
There's nested subjects.
Oh, you know what I mean? That is so weird.
Like Sesame Street style stuff. We were like, you know, we're gonna maybe do some kind of Sesame Street style thing, content.
Who owned the puppets?
Neither of us had puppets, I don't think. We were just interested in puppets. She went and did, since I've seen her last, she went and did a whole puppet workshop in like a fancy, in like Prague or some shit. Somewhere where it costs you a lot of money and you're seeing some... Fuck you, dude. You have the same shit with horses. You are as much of a horse nerd as she is a puppet nerd.
Rich people bullshit.
Yeah, I know, but you exactly know where that's coming from.
Oh,
you would
God.
Go to like Prague to ride some fucking, you know, special shit.
Of course I would, but not like I've had horses since, well, I've ridden since I was quite literally 2 years of age.
Yeah,
like she literally, she's literally just like gotten into it with some guy and then she's just like jumped in the deep end.
Oh, I think she was into puppets irrespective of me.
Oh, so she passed on
I am
her love of
the fuck you did. You can't even finish the sentence. No. She passed on her love of puppets. I've always loved puppets.
Did you make the puppets do stuff to each other? Did you ever put your dick in one of the puppets' mouths?
I've never, even as a sexually confused child, I've never fucked a puppet.
If you did fuck a puppet.
Ah, I mean, definitely, like, Sam the Eagle comes to mind.
Oh,
no, Janice from Electric Mayhem. And people out there who know what I'm talking about. I wouldn't kick her out of bed for sure.
See, I'd give the count of Sesame Street some.
No, at some point, it's funny, when we talk about Muppets fucking Muppets, at some point we have to come to terms with the fact that we're just fucking a puppeteer who has a Muppet on their arm. You know
what
I mean?
Yeah, like...
We're just fucking someone's hand.
We all used to go and hug the lady's arm in the dark Happy Harold van. The way that I used to get turnt for Happy Harold week.
Oh, I loved it so much.
Shit, why was it so exciting?
My memory is that, like, I didn't know it was coming. So you'd go out and the Happy Harold van would just be in the, like, main area and you'd be like, what the fuck? Just, like, losing your shit. I can't believe it. It's Happy Harold time.
Kids are so stupid.
To people that aren't vaguely our age, because I'm assuming Happy Harold doesn't still happen.
Oh, it does. So
I really?
Used to live opposite a school and I got equally as turned when I saw Happy Harold as a fully fledged
just
adult.
Kid.
Sneak, just like, oh, because that's not a problem.
She doesn't even go here.
You're like, and what? You know, like Tammy, the half naked light up girl in the in the wall,
the anatomic.
Yeah. What are they called? I literally work in science and a model. It's a
you literally work in.
I
science.
I work in science. Yeah.
You're a scientist? Is that what you're saying?
I'm not a scientist.
Yeah, no, I don't know what I call it either.
They're called a model.
Well, a dummy, like an anatomical. dummy, an anatomy dummy, a medical dummy. It's just a little fucking head and shoulders with light up shit in it, so you can
no
see the
way.
Bits.
Like, she had titties.
She didn't have like full titties,
mate. She so it was one side, the skin was off, so you could see the under skin titty, and then on the other side it was normal.
No way.
Yes, way.
I remember that. So I'm not questioning you. I'm more just incredulous. It'd be funny if we had different
Happy Tammies. Harolds.
Like, yours is more extreme. Like, it was a franchise. So they like got different dummies.
It's called something else now.
Why did I find it so magical? I mean, you agree, right? That is.
Oh, I agree. Like, I agree. Like I said, I temporarily felt something as a 33-year-old when I saw that shit in the schoolyard over the road. Like,
I just picture it, like, you looking at it, that song. Do you ever hear that all? Yeah, to every season, turn.
I've not got a single one of your references tonight.
God damn it.
That's 3 from 3.
Some people get it. What were the other? No, we didn't need to go
the two movies.
Oh, yeah, right. Willow and Red Dragon. Well, I explained Red Dragon. You remind me of a serial killer.
Mm.
And I love you for it. Rarely, uniquely, actually, you're the only person I've ever met who reminded me of a serial killer, and that brings affection out of me.
Mm.
But Happy Harold. I genuinely. So since I started doing stand-up comedy, I've kind of come to the conclusion that the perfect comedy venue is basically like Happy Harold.
Mm.
You need to step into a dark room where you can't see yourself or the other people in the crowd very well. And you need to feel like you're stepping into a whole new universe.
And you need to be sitting next to the boy that you like so that your thighs can brush a little bit.
Oh, whoa.
Or they can lean against each other.
Yeah, is that right?
Yeah.
That's interesting because the only time I've seen you come to comedy shows, you were either sitting next to your friend Georgie or my friend John.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I understand. I like John too. I have brushed his thigh in a normal way.
Both very pretty. We got very pretty friends.
I have a lot of very pretty friends.
Yeah.
It's alarming. It makes me not use Instagram stories nearly as much as I otherwise would. Because I just feel like a weird little dude. I'm like, why am I looking at my friends being sexy? Do you know what I mean?
But I don't understand, like, why you wouldn't use stories because of that.
Well, no, it feels weird. Like, because I'm a bit of an aloof sort of friend, right? And none of the other things on socials really track your movements. So it's not like, if I don't like a thing that you've written, it could be that I just didn't see it. It doesn't mean that I didn't interact with it. But when you have a story, this is everyone that saw the story. And it's like, if you're just wiggling your beautiful bum, and it's like, this is everyone that looked at that and they didn't say anything. It's weird. Isn't that weird?
I fucking love going through the people that view my story. And I'm like, no reaction. Interesting. Off the Christmas card list.
Oh, wow. You have a Christmas card there?
No.
So I didn't get a Christmas card.
No, I don't. I just have a Christmas card list that I strike people off. Nobody's actually on the list.
No one's on the list. Yeah, yeah.
But it's There's like a, it's a sub list. It's a sub list of people who will never make the list.
Not on the list. Yeah.
Fucking.
We're gonna bleep that as well. Fucking guy that made. To be honest, I looked into it, and you and I were the only ones that properly ate shit eating that magical brownie.
Really.
So I think maybe we had a lot.
We didn't. Combined. Unless we got like a strong piece.
Yeah, well, that's the thing is I think we might have had, I don't think it was a super consistent brownie lot. And also, we had drunk like a whole bottle of rosé before we hit it up, I think.
We'd shared a bottle of rosé and, you know, like 2 glasses of rosé is breakfast for me. Like... That's not enough to knock me sideways, but
yeah. Oh, you weren't sideways. You were on the fucking floor,
face down.
And I'm like a veteran. I smoked weed throughout my entire 20s, and I was seeing fractals. I was having auditory hallucinations. I woke up a couple of hours after I'd finally fallen asleep, and I went to say, oh, I feel fine. And my head went, I feel fine. And I'm like, oh, no.
the eating of the shit.
The eating of the shit. Do we want to talk about what happened to you? Because that's really the first time you saw me in crisis mode. I think I did very well. I think
you did amazingly. That was the first time you have seen me completely incapacitated.
Actually, I do want to talk about this a little bit because Sophie, before this happened, Sophie basically said to me that if she's ever sick during an event of some kind and I ever try to do the hold her hair back, she basically told me that that's it. That's over, right?
And likewise, if you vomit or have any sort of untoward bodily function near me.
That's done.
We're out.
But yeah, I did the thing. I held her hair back.
And it wasn't like cute girl puke where you just kind of like, oh, I feel sick. I was roaring into that bowl. Yeah. And it was like, and I had nothing in my stomach. It was
you said something to the effect of, I don't feel right, or like what's happening. And then I heard the sound that, if you've heard it before, you can only know as vomit on linen, because it was just like you didn't make it to any place where you're supposed to vomit and you just vomited on the bed.
I did.
And then I walked around. I had a very kind of zen. I was incredibly high myself, but I went into like crisis mode thing where I'm like, I need to deal with this. So I'm like, okay, here's what I'll do. And I did a whole thing where I like stripped the linen off the bed and I just poured a bunch of water on the bed because I'm like, this will be fine later. Water dries. I remember that. Water dries.
Absolutely.
And I got a bunch of like hand wash because it's just all soap. And I like put soap on all of the linens around there and I like scratched. and I like scrubbed it all right. And then I'm like, okay, so there's shitloads of water on the actual the actual mattress. But if I flip sheet around, then the actual nasty part of the sheet will be at our feet, and I'll sleep on this side so Sophie doesn't have to smell her own like sick or whatever. So I slept on that side. And then I got you to sleep on the other side with like a little waste paper basket.
So
trying to get you to breathe. And then, yeah.
And honestly, like, can I just say, ladies, if he wanted to, he would. Like, what? Do not accept anything less from any man after you have heard that story. And like, can I just say also, like, we were just having this absolutely majestic time in this amazing location because Sam was on set shooting an ad and I tagged along, and he went out and shot all day the next day while I was just, you know,
recovering,
rough and gut busted. But we made quite a team because I basically finished laundering the sheet in the shower. So I took it in the shower with me, shampooed it, strung up a washing line in the motel room, dried the sheet, and I had it like all dried out, crispy, fresh as for when you got home from work that day.
I know, it's amazing. We did do a really good job of just like ninjuring the crap out of that whole event. Yeah, I told this story to someone afterwards and they just went like, you're in a motel. Couldn't you just told them you were sick? They could have cleaned it up. And I was like,
absolutely not.
You could have done that. It could have been so easy. You absolutely could have done that. But yeah, but no, we didn't need to. No one knew that we did any of that shit.
No, not all of these media people, none of the producers or this whole film crew that was staying there. Stealth.
Immaculate.
So yeah, fuck you.
Yeah, the maker of the special brownie. So yeah, you were talking about how you felt you wanted to die, but in a good way.
I just became so okay with death in the moment, like make it happen through consciousness.
Just turn it off.
I was toying with the idea. Like I felt fairly convinced that I could. And I was a bit, should I?
Yeah. Should this be it? Should this be the...
It was the most irretrievable I've ever felt in a situation. I was like, oh, I've done it. I've done the thing where I'm going to be crazy forever.
Yeah. See, that's the funny one that happens when you get too high, particularly, and edibles are always notorious for taking you to this point if you A lot of people do the thing where it doesn't hit it, so they have more brownie or they have more gummy or whatever, and then it all comes and hits them once, like 6 hours later, and they're like, oh, no, the devil, et cetera.
Well, look, I've had a few couple of really good sends in my life where I absolutely had too much, but this was just, it was a different, yeah, that was a whole other thing. Like I said, I was just like, yep, I've done it. I've done the brain damage. And I remember just being like, yep, if where's the switch? I'm pretty sure I can find it. And then I remember the first thing I said when I think I woke up like later, early in the morning. And I remember turning to you and saying, oh, don't worry, it goes back to normal.
Yeah, and I was genuinely like, oh, thank fuck for that.
Because you were still in the thick of it.
And that's the thing is, like, that was such a comforting thing to roll over and say to me. Because genuinely, yeah, I'm like a proper veteran of that feeling. And that still happened to me too. I remember thinking, is this, like, I've done this to myself so many times. And I remember it was like, is this the one? Is this the one where I've, like, developed a psychosis of some kind and I've, like, turned my brain and I'm, like, fucked now? And then I'm like, the veteran in my head was like, no, buddy. When you think that, that just means you're incredibly high. Just breathe and continue to think about chill things. The last time it happened to me was on a different drug, a New Year's sort of drug, and I was in a tent and I felt very ill, but I didn't realize I felt ill. What kept happening is that I kept thinking of pointy things and smudgy things, and I didn't like that. I'm like, I hate pointy things and smudgy things. That's not good. Oh, and everything kept crystallizing in my head. I'm like, everything is crystallized, covered in little crystals. And I'm like, I hate that. I know what I'll do to get rid of that. I'll think of round things. That's really nice. I'll think of round, smooth objects. And I'm like, yeah, round, smooth objects. And then all of the round, smooth objects started to crystallize. And I'm like, ah, no, the crystals are back. And I didn't realize, because as soon as I got out of the tent, I went and I projectile vomited like 1.5 meters. And I didn't even try. I just went, I just opened my mouth. It just came out like a fire hydrant. And that's literally what happened. I just felt sick, but my brain was saying that things were crystallizing.
So after the projectile, did the crystals stop crystallizing? Oh, yeah.
No more crystals.
Yeah, great. Did you ever grow one of those crystal gardens as a kid? So I was obsessed with Nat Geo, and you sprinkled the shit on the shit and you put water on it and then it was crystals.
You work in science, as you said before.
Yes.
You sprinkled the shit on the shit and then crystals.
That's how I remember the process being outlined on the box.
I don't think I had them, but I remember someone else having that. It kind of reminds me of like weird sand products. Like yes. You get a weird colored sand that turns into something else.
Yeah, very sea monkeys adjacent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I never had any of those products for some reason.
Oh, I was obsessed with sea monkeys. Because they're a pet. They're a little animal.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was just like, and it would have done anything. The way that I watched those sea monkeys, I did not budge from the side of that tank. For a solid 8 days.
I don't know why I'm being called this, but that is so incredibly cute. You're just sitting there just looking at the sea monkeys.
Yeah.
Watching their development.
Utterly determined to not miss a moment of my sea monkeys. Because I really bought into the marketing. They had these.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah.
These cute little cartoons. And somewhere in, I think, my child head, I was like, this is my family now.
Eventually, they will grow big enough for me to be able to talk to them.
You can talk to them.
Yeah, you could. Do they talk back?
That's not what I said.
But yeah, I wish I had sea monkeys. It is. You're right. The marketing was crazy. It was like Pet Rocks.
Mm.
There are some people that were kicking around in the 90s. They were fucking geniuses with that shit.
The Chia Pet? Chia. Yeah. Do you remember that ad?
Yeah, I do remember that ad. Again, I never had a Chia Pet. Never had a Pet Rock. I had my own Pet Rock. Like, I got a rock and I named it.
Yeah, but it didn't have the googly eyes. It was just didn't have,
yeah,
rock.
The little box. Yeah.
Little I remember mine had, like, wool for hair super glued to it.
Whoa. Like, They did that or you did that?
I feel like that was like a relative did that.
Oh, okay. They made you special.
And presented it to me. A bit like the mongoose. Like
When I got the mongoose, there wasn't a mongoose.
Yeah.
Good times.
The way that I would use that pet rock to just smash someone's face in.
Specific people or?
No, just like I said, like I'm kind of always half ready if someone starts acting out in public. So sometimes if somebody's like driving a little bit too close to me, have you ever had someone get out of their car and come and like yell at you through the window?
Yeah, nearly. I've had a couple of near moments that I found very funny that are similar to this, but.
Yeah. I sometimes almost hope for those to happen. I'm like, just give me a reason, cunt.
Just do it.
Just give me a reason. God, I want to swing on someone.
Well, I used to have, Zara worked in it. I lived in a weird random share house for like years where it was just full of objects that other people left behind and no one knew whose was what. And there was this vintage wooden baseball bat, like a proper big ass one that someone had written The Persuader next to. And because I was the front room, I always answered the front door. So I ended up having The Persuader. And when I left, I took it with me and I chucked it in my car. So I'm with you on that. If anyone ever came up to my car, they're like, ah, you want to eat Persuader, son? Because that's what's coming out right now. But no, I had the two ones that you made me remember. And I want to ask you yours because I want to see if someone that has someone actually done that to you. They've actually gotten out at Yeldi.
Yeah.
Wow. That's a little scary. Like a dude, presumably.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah. See, that's. Yeah.
Oh, he like, was dudes a, doing he was that a to proper, other dudes. He was a proper smacky, though. So he nearly took out the front of my car, merging with his trailer. And I stood on my horn. And he basically swerved all over the road, pulled the thing to a stop. I pulled up behind him. And, yeah, out he got.
Why?
And I just, oh, because he was just junky.
Yeah, but no, but why did you? No, I get why he's behaving like a spaz. Why did you pull over?
I wasn't pulled. Like, he blocked me.
Oh, right.
Yeah, so I just locked the doors. Yeah. I just locked the doors and kind of like, and because we were in traffic. We were in like three lanes of traffic at a stop sign.
Yeah.
Like at a red light.
And he got out and just yelled in the window.
Yeah.
And what did you do?
Nothing. I just locked the doors and stared at him.
And eventually he just calmed down very slightly and got back in his car.
Well, the lights turned, so all the cars started moving. So he went and got back in his little smacky car.
He was like, oh, well, I want to follow the rules according to the light.
And, like, that was so long ago. That was before I had, like, all of this absolute rage.
This murderous rage.
Honestly, like, if that same scenario played out, I would be struggling to not hit him with my car.
Okay, that was a good choice because I'm like, you don't want to get out of the car. Like, mass strength is strength. It's like a superpower.
Yeah, no, I would just have a little lick of my bull bar, cuz.
Have a lick of the bull bar.
Little.
Bite the bull bar.
Little kiss. Little kiss.
You're doing little. No, I had two of them that nearly kicked off like that. One of them was very funny to me. The one that's not that funny was I cut a woman off in traffic on Crown Street in Wollongong. It was one of those ones where once I started committing to it, I realized I'm like, oh, it's not a near-death cut-off. I'm going to have to cut her off and I have room. But now that I've committed to it, it's safer to do that than to back off. So I fully committed to it and I gave her lots of I'm sorry waves. I'm like, oh, I fucked up. Clearly I fucked up. This was not a good choice, but here we are, right? She followed me all the way down to like Dicey Riley's, which is like a 500 meters away or so, and I turned off, and she turned off, and stopped in front of me, and wound her window down, and started abusing me, like, "What the fuck do you think you're doing?" And I immediately just cut her off, and was just like, "Hey, look, you're totally right. I have completely fucked up. I'm really sorry. That was just fucking stupid." And I think she thought that I was gonna fight back, because as soon as I started apologizing, she's like, "Oh no, it's okay," and then she drove off.
Was it my mum?
I didn't know. No. See, this is the thing. I thought about it. I'm like, see, I didn't know your mum then. But
you know,
like,
you know what she looks like now.
Yeah, I don't think it was your mum unless she was a lot more brunette.
Because that's a classic Irene move. Irene will chase someone down and go and give them an absolute piece of it if they're driving shitty.
But it's like, yeah, she wanted the fight. And because I didn't provide the fight, it just completely took the fight out of her straight away.
Oh, see, Mum, like, I've seen
Irene
her
double down.
Yeah, she gathers strength from the submission.
From the meekness. She'll get out and just say, "You're my bitch now."
She'll get back
just
in
yelling
her car.
Out her name, Irene.
She'll just get like back shitty. In her car feeling so vindicated. She's just like, "I am a citizen."
Citizen. She like arrests me, puts me in her car. Just like, "I'm taking you to the police." Man, the other one was real funny to me. A guy tried to cut me off on Picton Road. Well, these are all very New South Wales centric stories. A guy tried to cut me off on Picton Road, and essentially my car was, I had better revs than him at the time. I just didn't let him, and he had no choice but to back off, right? And then he was like beeping me and abusing.
Picture any car you've driven to have better revs than
honestly
like
yeah,
any the, other
any other car yeah and yeah. To be honest, his car was much more powerful than mine, which I don't understand that part of the story either. That's an inconsistency, but here we are, right? That's what happened. He was real mad and behind me and beeping and yelling, and I just flipped him off. I did the casual, I just stuck my finger behind my head, right? Next time we hit two lanes, he comes zooming in next to me, right, banging the side of his car like a Mad Max character, like, "Oh, oh, oh." Right. And he looks out at me, and I'm looking at him, and just complete feral rage on his face. He went to spit on my car, right? But all he did was just spat on himself in his own car. He just spat everywhere. Covered in, I've not used this word in years, covered in spag, just down the side of his like Monaro or whatever the fuck. And I was just looking at it like, this is great. I love that this happened.
It's fantastic.
That was the end of the interaction. But you're right, before my current car, my little blue egg Honda Jazz, what's been described to me as a hairdresser's car, I had the ugliest, a car that literally won an award in a car magazine of some kind, ugliest car of the year that it came out.
Wow.
It's a Daihatsu Pizer. It's a terrible fucking car.
Holy moly. So it was the Pizer that caused this man to spag all over himself.
Yeah, in rage. Pure rage. Actually, on that, I don't know if this is karma but on that exact same road, the Pizer tried to kill me once. Did I ever tell you that story?
Oh, no, it's the road. That road tries to kill everyone. Picton Road. Horrifically dangerous.
Yeah, they are dangerous and classically fatal roads. But no, this was definitely the car. And it, to be honest, is entirely my... I tell you, actually, it was karmic, but it wasn't for that event. I entirely brought this on myself. So I was driving this car. This car was awful, right? And it used to... bless, it was the first car. Like, and it did a lot of good things. It got me to places, right? But it used to stall. It used to have this issue with the thing where it would stall mid gear, like at high gears, just for no reason. Like, it's not an amount of revs. If it hits a certain amount of revs, it would like, it used to idle too low. So if you put the clutch in, it goes down lower than it's supposed to, and it would just stall at speed. So the car would fucking turn off at speed. And I got so used to it that I'd just be like, just turn it back on and then start going again. But you like, sometimes you'd lose power steering and it was awfully dangerous, right? On this particular trip, I was driving on Picton Road because I was going to a mechanic at the other end of Picton Road that I knew was super lax about passing rego. And I'm like, no normal mechanic's going to pass this for rego, but this guy's really chill. So I'm going to drive there so that he'll pass this dangerous car and I can continue to drive it. And on that trip, I totaled it. So I was driving in piss down rain. It did the stall thing. And I just completely lost traction. It tried to go towards the concrete bit in the middle. And I steered it towards the breakdown lane. And I nearly parked it. I was like a bee's dick away from parking it. But then I hit the wheel, bent the wheel on the side of the thing and fucked the wheel arch and sat there in the rain like, I'm not dead. So.
You having a car accident. Ick.
I knew it. I fucking knew it.
How many people do you think have wanked over pictures of you? I reckon I'd be a good sort of triple digit figure.
Pictures or videos?
Okay, media.
Media of you.
Visual media. Audio media. Because I actually, I remember I used to do phone calls, like phone sales for a farrier supply company, and it was my job to phone all of the farriers that were on the salesperson's run, get their orders and organize the run for the salesperson. And I remember the salesperson coming back one week and being like, yeah, such and such a farrier saved your voicemail and he wanks to it. Highly inappropriate for my manager to be returning and telling me, a 22-year-old employee, that.
Oh, sure. Yeah, absolutely.
I get it.
Yeah, that's...
big yikes.
But, like, you now, like, I've been in the room when you're taking professional calls, and, like, I get your ability to, like, I've been saying, like, hospitality mask, you know what I mean? Like, your ability to switch on for strangers.
Yeah, the customer service voice, yeah.
It's great.
Yeah. It is great. I am a fake person.
No. The real one is equally hot, but the idea, like, because I think that'd be worse. It'd be like Monsters, Inc., where they think scaring the kids is good, but then making them laugh is even better. Like, you doing the hot hospitality helpful voice is really hot, but if you just went, you know, I'd fucking kill you with a brick if I had the chance, that would just be like, oh! Do you know what I mean? That'd be over the edge.
Give me a line.
Kill you with a brick.
I'll kill you with a fucking brick.
Now, see, that's the... See, you're trying to, like...
You do this. You overcook Uncle Trevor sometimes.
Yeah.
I'll kill you with a fucking brick.
Oh, will you?
Yeah.
What are you going to do next?
Then I'll step on your smashed up face.
That doesn't sound like something a good girl would do. I win. That's the game. You win.
Yeah, that's the game.
This is the game. This is a new game.
Oh my god, we have a new game. Do you want to tell people about our first game that we invented?
I love the first game. What's it called? Can we kiss to this?
Yeah. And the premise is to not get distracted or icked kissing to a song.
Yeah, yeah.
You put a song on, and it's the kisser. Is it the kisser or the kissy?
It's no kisser or kissy. There's two people kissing and someone picks a song.
No. We take it in turns. So there's a kisser, there's a kissy. So it's like we try to ick each other. It's basically we are testing our attraction to each other against how terrible a song is to kiss to.
Well, even then, like, it doesn't... See, it's funny because there's two aspects of this game that came about organically through two different events. One of them maybe can't make it into the pod. But one of them...
Oh, like when we were... The following excerpt has been censored and suppressed as the content temporarily became too debauched, even by the standards of this podcast. If you would like to hear this excerpt anyway, send us enough money to justify creating a Patreon for the most loyal of our listening perverts, of which you could be the first.
Anyway, but it has another origin, which is that... a story of a thing that happened to a friend of yours at work, I think.
Yes. Okay. Beloved friend was kissed on the forehead at breakfast by her manager, her much older male manager. And the rest of the day, we played Bob Carlyle's Butterfly Kisses.
Which I kind of actually, this is, if you'll allow me this is like the only...
Please recite the lyrics. The lyrics.
Because I didn't know the song when Sophie told me this story. And holy shit. So just the first few lines of, if you don't know Butterfly Kisses by Bob Carlyle. There's two things I know for sure. She was sent here from heaven. And she's daddy's little girl. As I dropped to my knees by her bed at night. And it's like... the idea that this guy completely inappropriately, but this is a thing that women do a lot, the way they cope with completely fucked up but not quite reportable behavior. It's just like, we're just going to make fun of this. We're going to meme on this until the end of time.
She was eating. Like,
she's eating food.
She was eating at breakfast.
Why did he do that? Why did he kiss her on the head? It doesn't make any sense. For butterfly kisses after bedtime prayer, sticking little white flowers all up in her hair.
Walk beside the pony, Daddy. It's my first ride.
You're quoting this off the dome. You don't even have the lyrics in front of you. What's the next line, sir?
It's my first ride.
It's amazing. I'm looking at it right now.
Is it something about the day and then butterfly kisses at night?
No, that comes up.
That's the chorus.
So walk beside the pony, Daddy. It's my first ride. I know the cake looks funny, Daddy, but I sure tried. The look on your face is so upsetting.
What cake?
What? I don't know. I don't know. The narrative is rich.
Whose cake?
Whose cake? It's for Daddy. It's Daddy's cake.
Who's come? Who's rats?
Who's come? You made a cake for Daddy. And you try it. I shouldn't overuse that right now. I almost did Uncle Trevor. singing butterfly kisses in Uncle Trevor's voice.
I will do anything.
No.
Go.
No. I can't do it. No. Because the first line I saw will completely ruin it. The first line was, sweet 16 today. I can't do it. I'm not doing it. It's too upsetting. I like Uncle Trevor, all right? It's fucked up, but it has a genuine sexual effect on you, and anything that has that is positive in my head.
Come on, Sam. Pedo jokes.
Pedo, come on. Give me the pedo jokes. It's so fucked up. Trying her wings out in a great big world. No, I can't do it. I'm not doing it. You look upset. I'm upset spiritually. But no. So we can cut all of that.
That is staying so in.
But the
so very in.
Just that last bit. The butterfly kisses thing. Right? Sophie was telling me this story, and she basically, like the first time we were hanging out, she basically was trying to illustrate the story physically by showing me how it happened. And you put the song on, and you were trying to kiss me on the floor. And you couldn't get through it. You were just breaking the whole way through. It took you like 12 goes. And it was a very fun little game that we played. And yeah, that coupled with our own Heart Will Go On moment has born this Can We Kiss to This?
Yeah, I whipped out, I remember, Kiss by a Rose. Just the ba-ya-ya's started, and we were both like our eyes were just watering.
I wish I could remember, because there's one that really fucked me up. Oh, one of us put on Sway by Bic Runga. Who was that?
That was so you.
Oh, that. Yeah. Did that work? Did I break you or did we just kiss to Sway? Because that's gross.
So gross.
The two people in their 30s just kissing the Bic Runga. I think some people find that cute. Fucked up people. But no, that's a good song. That song slaps. That's a good banger.
It's great sport.
Yeah, and the game is great sport. That's true. And look, even if it doesn't eventuate, like you don't get to break the other person, you just get to make out with them. It's like a win-win of a sport.
Great game. Very enjoyable.
Excellent game. Yeah.
Do you know what surprises me, though, is that I haven't like really Sophied all over it and chucked on like Advance Australia Fair or something. Sometimes if I'm just like really feeling like I need to feel powerful, I'll chuck the Australian National Anthem on and I'll have a wank.
Sometimes I like to write down things that Sophie said to me or just in a conversation. Sophie, I have wanked over myself before.
Haven't you?
I mean, again, no, see, I wanked over myself, that's what you did too. Yeah, it's a narrative. You know what I mean? But for me, it was like, it's the opposite of what your word. Because I've wanked over myself before, but in like a dirty little gremlin narrative, I'd be like, oh, I fucking did that thing. And I'm like, I won't say what it is, but it's like, I did that thing. That was crazy. It's crazy that I did that.
Yeah, whereas mine is like a big wanking high five. It's just high-fiving myself through the clit.
What? That's a quote for the promos throughout that.
Mum's Friend Energy. Mum's Friend Energy.
Mum's Friend Energy.
We could make a cartoon together.
We could do Uncle Trevor as a cartoon.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And maybe that can just be for me.
Send everyone else home.
Oh, boy.